Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the one and only show you will ever need to listen to get you caught up on all your left-leaning news and current events. Yes, this is TPU Radio, and of course, I am once again your host, Jason Easley. Boy, this week we have a jam-packed half hour. We're going to be talking about Obama and foreign policy. Will his little gaps cost him the Democratic nomination? Crazy Thompson credo. New poll numbers from Iowa. And the reason why or it appears people want a third-party candidate, they just won't vote for a third-party candidate. The Joe Biden Minute, and if we have time, we're going to check out the Democratic radio address this week. So let's get this party started right quickly, right? Because we'll see the Easy Factory. Let's bring in George. Hey, George. Look at that. You hit the button and nothing happens. Real provisional. Hey, George.
Hello there.
There we are, the third time is the charm.
Yes.
We have to do something about these Blog Talk Radio buttons. I push them and talk to people, and there's nobody over there.
I love it.
How's it going, George?
It's going quite well, thank you very much.
Is it raining there?
What's
that? Is it raining there?
It's not raining here. It's expected to be raining here tomorrow, but today was...
Usually, George, southwestern Pennsylvania is beautiful. Today... it has been nothing but dark and raining, and every time, every moment I went out of the house, it starts raining again. it's been like 90 degrees here for, you know, since November.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
same
a bit
here.
Nice. Okay, George, let's bring in Will. Enough talk of the weather. This isn't the Weather Channel. This is the Politics Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Will Riddell.
Hello.
Will.
Hello.
There you are. Hey,
yes,
Will.
Yes, here I am.
Say hi,
hello,
George.
Hello, Jay.
Hello, Will.
How are you?
You know, it's great to have both of you on the show. I'm in a much better mood this week.
Oh,
things
good.
Are going pretty decently. I should jump right into it. Let's talk about, I know I didn't send you guys a list beforehand, but I've been super busy. So let's talk about Barack Obama and his foreign policy mistakes. He compounded his idea of invading Pakistan to get terrorists if he has to by adding that nuclear weapons are off the table. He will not use nuclear weapons to chase terrorists. This, of course, brought criticism from Hillary Clinton, who must apparently want to use nuclear weapons. Hillary said that no president should rule anything ever off the table. My question for you gentlemen is, first of all, will this cost Barack Obama the nomination? Will this hurt Barack Obama as foreign policy stumbles? George.
I definitely think this will at least, you know, kind of shine some light on his inexperience, and which has been like the one thing that everybody has been saying that has been a benefit to him, by saying that, you know, like he's new, he's, you know, like he's a, you know, superstar, you know, kind of candidate. He came in, you know, like in this great, you know, like blaze of glory and everything in 2004, but at the same time, people just weren't focusing on the fact that he doesn't have that much experience and therefore would be more susceptible to say something like this. So it's basically just kind of letting people shine the light on something that people should have already kind of taken into consideration.
We got into this a little bit last week, but then he compounded it by talking about taking the weapons off the table this week, and that led to Clinton jumping on him after Biden and Dodd jumped on about his Pakistan remarks last week. You know, okay, Will, what do you think?
I have to agree that it will shine some light on who Barack Obama really is, someone who doesn't have that much knowledge or experience in foreign policy, and no president of the United States should ever rule out the use of nuclear weapons, because, you know, not only is it, you know, just having them is a deterrent in causing the enemy to even attack in the first place.
Okay. By the way, people who want to join us can call in 718-664-6734 or via instant messenger, which seems to usually be our more popular option at AI, if you have an AIM account, use AIM, CAPJ71 is our username. Okay, you know, I think it's too early, but yeah, my thing is I just don't see anybody in this field with experience, except the top tier. Once you get beyond the top tier, that's where all the experience is in both parties. I don't know if this matters or not. I think Hillary Clinton's making a lot of political hay out of it, though. I mean, this is definitely benefiting her because she's been trying to portray Obama as naive and inexperienced, and boy, he just walked right into one.
Yeah,
it
seemed like he just kind of set the trap, you know, like the trap was kind of set, and then he just walked right into it.
It started at the debate, and it's like now whatever he does, he seems to compound his own problems. So I think the best advice anyone could offer him right now is just let it go. There's still 5 months or so before the first vote. Let it go. Come back to foreign policy later. Perhaps do a little studying, or even better, my thing with the Obama campaign is I think his campaign isn't as good as the candidate. I think his staff is not up to the level that he is, and that constantly shows. And it shows with whoever wrote that address and sent him out there saying that going into Pakistan would be an okie-dokie thing to do to hunt terrorists. It's just not a smart thing to say. Okay, moving on to topic number two of the day. You guys remember Crazy Eddie?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy Eddie,
yeah,
his prices
are
insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about Crazy Tommy Tancredo because he just might be insane. By the way, we haven't had a Huckabee Award winner. I think I might put this up for nomination for a Huckabee Award. Let me hear what you guys think. Okay, this comes off of CNN. Tommy Tancredo's campaign stood by his assertion that bombing holy Muslim sites would serve as a good deterrent to prevent Islamic fundamentalists from attacking the United States.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
Yeah, say that one more time.
The Tancredo campaign stood by their assertion that bombing holy Muslim sites would serve as a good deterrent to prevent Islamic fundamentalists from attacking the United States.
Oh.
Oh, my. So he's actually basically saying if we take away their place of religion, then they're not going to practice their religion.
That will show them they will never attack us if we bomb on their holy shrines.
Oh, my God, it's the Crusades all over again.
Yep.
Okay, now wait. The State Department had a little something to say about this. He's Tom Casey from the State Department. He said the Congress's comments were, quote, reprehensible and absolutely crazy.
Tancredo
was widely criticized in 2005 for making a similar suggestion.
Oh, my God.
When the State Department calls you crazy.
Yeah.
That in
particular,
you just might be eligible for a Huckabee Award. Okay, now let's discuss this for a few minutes. How and why? Okay, now if you're an Islamic fundamentalist and you're practicing your religion, you're praying to Allah, Five MJ, doing all the things you know a fundamentalist does, you already don't like the United States. Let's assume that we bomb your 1,000-year-old mosque into the ground. There's nothing left. How are you going to feel about the United States after we bomb all your mosques and shrines?
Oh, man.
You know, Bin Laden is licking his chops just when he heard about this guy because, like, for years now he has been trying to set up this whole jihad against against the United States and everything and Israel, and now all of a sudden he actually sees like somebody in a position of power who is proposing a holy war.
Right.
And
that is a holy war, but okay, you're an Islamic fundamentalist. Okay, whatever religion you guys practice, imagine if some other foreign country bombed all your churches.
Well, I'm a
How
Catholic,
are you going
so we
to
just
feel
build another
about...
one right up on top of it.
Oh, boy.
What's that?
I'm a Catholic, so we just kind of like build up another one on top of it. We don't pay any taxes.
Build up another one. Yeah, well, you know, you guys have your own problems that you did for the longest time.
Yeah.
But, you know, how are you going to feel? Are you going to be like, well, we better not mess with the United States. It just blew up all of our shrines. Or are you going to be like, we're going to get those bastards and lay them to waste?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of already made their attempt on that anyway.
More violence.
Yeah. Thinking like Tommy Tancredo just leads to more and more and more escalation of this whole affair, which I believe, now you guys may know this, you guys may know people that are like this. There are some basically, I would call them fundamentalist Christians that feel, we call them the religious right here, or, you know, they're the evangelicals, but they're basically the Christian fundamentalists who want a holy war.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because, you know, because
I don't know if you,
you
guys know anybody like this,
you know,
but I've met a few people like that.
Their God
they
is
want
the, only,
the holy
is the
war.
Only God and everything, so.
Oh, yeah.
They want a holy war. They believe that's the only way this is all going to be settled and Jesus will come back and reward all of them.
Yeah, yeah. What, and what better way to prompt, you know, like, you know, Jesus coming down and everything than a war? Just,
you know, it just makes you wonder, if these people made a movie about Jesus, would he be played by Sylvester Stallone in John Rambo garb?
He is now.
You know,
about a comeback,
it just,
you know?
Makes wonder, like, what Jesus exactly are they talking about? They're talking about the hard-ass Jesus that kicks ass and takes names, and apparently if you're not with him, you're against him. He's the George W. Bush of religions.
Oh, yeah.
Singing on Christian soldiers.
Yeah, but, you know, if you guys have done any sort of, like, even as a kid went to Bible school or Bible camp, that's not the Jesus they teach you about.
Right.
Right. I always had this theory that Mel Gibson...
Love thy neighbor as thyself, you know?
Yeah. I always had this theory that Mel Gibson was setting up a sequel at the end of Passion of the Christ, because, like, there was that one great moment where you see Jim Caviezel as Jesus, you know, like, he's back up and everything, resurrected in his tomb. He's got the clean hole through his hand and everything, and then he walks out of the tomb. And all I was thinking of was just like, oh, my God, he's setting up a sequel. He's setting up the Revenge of the Christ. That's basically what these
Lucas
guys want.
As long as he doesn't let George Lucas write the dialogue, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, guys, we got some new poll numbers from Iowa this week. These are pretty interesting. This is from the ABC News Washington Post poll. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards are basically in a smack dead old tie in Iowa.
Mm.
They all have 27% support. Obama has 27, Clinton and Edwards have 26.
Mm.
Our favorite politician, Governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, is fourth with 11%.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Iowa's a dead heat. John Edwards needs Iowa. He needs Iowa. If he doesn't win Iowa, he's got a world of trouble. He needs to win and win early in Iowa, New Hampshire, and if he doesn't, he's effectively over. Bill Richardson coming in 4-11%. It just shows how the Iowa process is a little bit out of touch with the rest of the country, because if candidates go there and spend lots of time, their number's going to come up, and that's what Richardson's done. He's on TV there. He spent time there. You know, Iowa is, I'm never really sure how much credit to give Iowa as far as being important, or if it's too important. It's nice. I think people do weigh too much into Iowa, though. It's not really, it shouldn't be worth as much as it is. Because you remember, John Kerry basically won the nomination in 2004 by winning Iowa. And all of a sudden, people looked at him and said, he's electable. So that's, he pretty much steamrolled after that. Now, on the Republican side, here's what's interesting. Mitt the Twit Romney leads the Republican presidential race with 26%.
Wow.
Followed by Rudy, let's give everybody a tax cut to buy health care, Giuliani at 14%. Fred, I'm kind of running, Thompson at 13%.
I love that he's not even, like, officially running yet, and yet he's doing so well in the polls.
He's kind of running. In case it doesn't go well, he's going to bail.
Right.
Mike, the namesake of our award, Huckabee, is at 8%. And John Crash and Burn McCain is also 8%. Now, let's look at this. Mitt the Twit Romney. Mitt, who shouldn't really be leading, you know, an election for maybe student council. He's in Iowa. Now, if I want to make the argument that Iowa should not mean a damn thing, that's it right there. Okay, Giuliani, 14%. Giuliani's not going to – we keep talking on the show about how Giuliani's not going to sell well in the South. He might not sell well in the Midwest either. I mean, his whole thing might not sell all that great there either. Fred Thompson, you know, Fred's sort of like the protest vote. We all know Huckabee's a nice guy, but let's face it, even he doesn't think he's going to win. John McCain – John McCain, sort of like Rocky Balboa, in that he's had the crap kicked out of him, and he's barely hanging in there. You know, it's just, he's barely surviving.
He's in Rocky V territory right now with all,
he's in Drago territory?
Rocky
V was, Tommy the Gun Morrison.
Well, yes, but you know, it started off with him losing his money, losing his house.
Well, first he found out he had brain damage.
Losing his mind, you know, like there's this, you know, like piece by piece, you just watched him crumble within the first, you know, like, you know, 20 minutes or so. That's basically what we've been seeing of John McCain for the past 6 years.
Now compare John McCain to Rocky Balboa and Rocky Vaz. I think, okay, here's the big finding out of that poll. Only 19% of Republican caucus members say they're very satisfied with their choices. On the other hand, Democrats say they're 53% of Democrats say they're very satisfied. Three times as many as the Republicans. Republicans don't like what's being offered here, people. I mean, there's not a real Republican in the bunch. So, okay, let's talk. Anybody else have a Huckabee Award nominee for this week? No? I could throw a second one out at you. How about Rudy Giuliani for giving everybody a tax cut if they buy their own health care?
Ah.
Oh, that was absolutely fantastic. Just that, you know,
what's
the fact
problem
that
with asking poor people to buy their own health care before you give them a tax cut?
Right.
does everybody else see the problem here?
Oh, yeah. It's basically just like...
If you spend $12,000 without deductibles and copays for health care, Rudy's going to give you a tax deduction. Well, if you make $30,000 a year, I guess the kids don't have to eat this year. Good, they can go to the doctor for their malnutrition.
You're going to send the kids to school in a plastic bubble just to make sure that nothing happens to them.
Stupid. Now, if you want to hear stupid, let's repeat once again. Bombing Muslim holy sites would serve as a good deterrent to prevent Islamic fundamentalists from attacking the United States.
I think that's just like, you know, like we got that would mean like we renamed the award or something. Like that is just so beyond.
I thought we should almost
rename
the award to Tancredo because that has to be one of the four stupidest things I've ever heard a candidate say ever. I mean, what Barack Obama said about going into Pakistan was dumb.
I think it's more than just like what a stupid thing a candidate say. I think it's just something stupid that a person would say.
Yeah.
It's something that a person on the street.
You guys remember the last time I poked the San Credo people with a sharp pointy stick, I got like 50 emails.
Yeah.
Telling me what an ignorant SOB I am.
Hmm.
So we might have just riled up some folks here again today.
Well, then maybe
they'll
call.
Maybe they'll call. We don't want them to call, okay? They start calling, we're going to have to listen to them telling us how stupid we are, and then we're just going to have to blame Will. All my information comes from Will. I don't do any research on my own. It just comes up on the screen, and I read it. Okay, guys, here's another poll. Here's the Wall Street Journal NBC News poll for this week. Most Americans favor a third-party White House bid. Some 53% of the people surveyed back the idea of a third-party presidential candidacy. Strongest among the support is men, people younger than 50, professionals, and Northeasterners. 7 out of 10 say an independent would enhance the presidential campaign, and just 11% say they wouldn't consider voting for an independent. But yet, when Bloomberg enters the race, he only gets 16% of the vote from independents. So what does that say? What do you guys think? What do you guys think of Bloomberg, first of all? George
would know the best.
Personally, I've had really nothing against him. I have to thank him for the whole no smoking policy in bars and everything, because that means I don't have to burn my clothes when I get home from a bar.
Will, you want to say anything about that?
No, I'm not going to. That's actually a
you
good
want to
thing.
Defend smokers, Will?
What?
You want to defend the smokers, Will?
No, smoking's a bad thing.
And you smoke.
Well.
You see, I'm allergic to smoke, so I would like that policy just as much as anybody else. Okay, but go on with Bloomberg. Do you like it? You like him because he won't let people smoke in bars.
Well, that was the first thing that kind of made me think like, hey, maybe this guy's onto something. And as the years have passed and everything, like I've I've basically just kind of grown to like him as, you know, like as the mayor of New York. But I think it's way too soon to make that jump from mayor of New York City, which, despite how many people we have here, it's still a city with you know, like with five different boroughs. But at the same time, like, that's
sort of
much...
what we talked about for with presidents jumping for Giuliani jumping from mayor to the presidency. Isn't this the exact same thing?
It is, but and at the same time, like, I never thought that Giuliani was going to be a worthy candidate for president anyway. You know, like, I think that Bloomberg is basically just kind of putting himself in that position to basically kind of make the same mistake that Rudy did, is just going into it way too fast. And the fact
and
that
I think Bloomberg, if it ends up being Giuliani and Clinton, Bloomberg will be the none of the above vote.
Yes.
That's exactly
he's
what's
the Brewster's
happen.
Million vote. Yeah.
Yeah, if people don't like either, which I think is going to be, if they're both nominated, that's going to be a real problem because both of them, let's face it, suck.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to vote none of the above, or they aren't going to vote.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just not going to vote. I mean, would you get excited about voting for an election between Clinton and Giuliani?
That's airline food and hospital food right there. That's basically like what you have to pick from.
I mean, I basically would trust Hillary Clinton more than I trust Rudy Giuliani because, well, Hillary would at least put competent people around her, and I don't know. Rudy just seems to keep one wanting to do what George W. is doing.
And
I don't think we need. I don't think we need 4 or 8 more
that
years.
That just sickens me. Just the fact that he's going in that direction. He's under.
Oh, he's totally sold himself out.
Yeah.
He's going the McCain route. McCain, he apparently didn't learn nothing from McCain crashing and burning because he's doing the same thing now.
Right.
He's trying to be George W. Bush, except he's pro-choice and not anti-gun.
Right. And
okay,
and
guys. I'm really torn here because we have enough time that I could throw the Democratic radio address up for you, but, it, you know, we're going to listen to it for a few minutes because it really, really, really ticked me off. so let's take a listen. It's Paula Hall giving the Democratic radio address. Check it out.
Hi, my name is Paula Hall, and I'm pleased to deliver this week's Democratic radio address. I'm a child care provider in Spokane, Washington, and my husband and I worked hard all our lives to get the American dream. But we had never thought it could slip away so easily. 6 years ago, I got a call that changed our lives forever. My husband was hanging on to his life after being hurt very badly on the job. He would never be able to work again. 6 months after that, we lost our health care. I was now the sole provider for our family, and we had no way of paying for physical therapy and medicine my husband needed. I worked 14-hour days and barely made enough for our mortgage payments. To afford the bare necessities, I went to night school to get a weekend job that might pay more than the minimum wage. I don't know how I managed it, but I had clearly worn my body out. In 2005, I had an emergency triple bypass that failed. In the next 17 months, I had 9 angioplasties and 5 stents placed in my heart. Then came the bills. With no insurance, we had no way to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars it took to save my life. We had no way to pay for the medicine and no way to pay our mortgage with me out of work. To try and save the house we raised our daughter in, we used up all our savings, cashed in what little my husband had for retirement, and sold anything of value. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. We had to file for bankruptcy, and we lost our home. Every day, we don't know if we can make the rent or even buy food. I never thought my life would be like this. Nobody should have to lose everything because they don't have health care. What's scarier is that more and more families have similar stories. But I feel like there is finally some hope for a better future. Child care providers in Washington united together with SEIU to fight for paychecks that support a family and provide affordable health care. Last November, we elected a new Congress to change direction and take on the challenges families like mine face every day. The Democrats we elected are already making a difference in our families' lives. When you have to choose between rent and food, you shouldn't have to worry about affording gas to get to the grocery store. But Democrats passed an energy bill that will help bring prices down. Democrats also passed the first minimum wage increase in 10 years. Raising minimum wage won't make anyone rich, but it will help hardworking people take home a little more each month. Just this week, Congress ensured that more children, like my daughter, can get health care when their parents can't afford it by approving the Children's Health Insurance Program. President Bush has threatened a veto, but health care for children is too important to play politics with. My daughter has been very brave. In fact, the only time she says much about our situation is when she talks about college. But we don't have a penny saved. It all went to try and save the house and keep food on the table. She'll need loans, and thankfully, Congress has passed the largest student assistance program since 1944. It increases aid eligibility and offers loan forgiveness for students like my daughter who want to teach or do other public service work. Democrats also passed a child tax credit that might help us raise our kids and put money away for college. Things might not have worked out as planned for my family, but we haven't lost hope. I think Democrats get it, and if you work hard and do what's right, you should earn a paycheck that supports a family, provides health care, a secure retirement, and a better future for all kids. I'm Paula Hall from Spokane, Washington, and this has been the weekly Democratic Radio Address. Thanks for listening to my story, and have a great weekend.
Okay, guys. The first part of that address was really good. Agreed?
Agreed.
The second part where she had to run through the laundry list of everything the Democrats passed was amazingly pathetic.
Yeah, that was basically.
Why couldn't they have just left it alone, let her tell her story, and say, this is why we need to fix health care? It's almost like whoever wrote this speech for the Democratic Party said, we have a bad approval rating, and we need to do something to assure the American people that even though we're not getting out of Iraq, we're doing a bunch of other stuff.
It just felt
like propaganda.
It feels like they're having to spiel out their resume too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way too early.
Didn't that last part just strike you as somehow wrong?
Yeah. It just felt like they were just kind of just playing to, you know, like just, you know, preaching to the same choir that they've been preaching to for a while now.
Yeah. Now if they would have let her end that address with, this is why a tax cut won't work for health care, this is why, you know, this
right.
is why we can't ignore the health care problem,
mm-hmm.
that's
right.
fine. That's a great, powerful address.
Yeah.
What they did was something shameless and political, and I think they deserve to be called on it. Okay, guys, we're going to do, you know what we're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's time for.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Joe Biden Minute, the one place in the continental United States of America where you can find out, hey, what'd Joe Biden do this week? Okay, the Joe Biden campaign.
I know, he met George.
actually, you know what? We're going to give the Joe Biden Minute to George. I had something lined up. George.
Yes.
You got to meet Joe Biden. Tell us about your meeting Joe Biden.
I got to meet Joe Biden. I wore my Unite Our States button proudly. When I got over to NBC Studios, and I was told promptly by NBC security to take the button off, and I was basically behind several tourists while we were listening to both Biden's interview with Meredith Vieira and Sean Kingston's roadie doing a mic check, and then finally after the interview, I started walking away, and I was greeted by one of the Biden supporters who said that Senator Biden would be coming out of the NBC Studios entrance and we would have a chance to meet him. So I waited like a good supporter, and sure enough, he came
there.
Out, and he was the nicest guy. I got to meet, you know, got to shake, you know, shook everybody's hands, was taking pictures, signing autographs. There was more than just me as the so word is getting around. And
so there were like 5, 10 of you?
I would actually say there were about 25 or so. So I was very pleased.
Wow, actually not bad.
Yeah, not bad for.
Okay, so you got your picture taken with him.
I got my picture taken with him, and it would have been nice if the person taking the picture would have waited about 2 or 3 seconds so I had time to lift my head and smile. But at the same time,
instead,
though,
you're what, scowling and flipping the bird? I mean,
yeah. But no, I was able to meet him. I was able to speak with him, and everything couldn't be better. You know, like the whole situation, and I got to walk away and got to tell my mother, because she's also a big Biden supporter, and it was just a very, very good moment that you got that, you know, getting to meet the president again. It doesn't happen very often.
For next week's show, yeah, George.
Yes, next week's show we will have JB White, who is a coordinator for veterans for Joe Biden. He will be calling in to this show, and we will be able to ask him several questions about the Biden campaign and find out what they are planning to do to kind of get past that glass ceiling that they're stuck in right now.
Okay, guys, it's time to bring this bad boy home, wrap it up, because I need to go watch the Pittsburgh Steelers for the New Orleans Saints. George, what do you got to pimp this week?
Tomorrow I will be on Aaron Brownstein's Wise Guys, Black Guys, and Rabbis. It's a radio show that's on www.wtbq.com at 6 p.m. from 7 till 7 p.m.
And which one are you? Are you a wise guy, black guy, or a rabbi?
Well, you know, like I work for a Jewish organization, so it'd probably be the rabbi.
Okay. Okay, George, anything? Okay, what's in the 411 pipeline for this week?
The 411 pipeline, I have this Wednesday will be Scene Anatomy 101 column, where I take a look at the scene from the 1987 film Dragnet with Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks. And that Thursday, I will be also doing the UBS Evening News. And also on Saturday night, I will be at the Coyote Ugly in New York City celebrating my birthday.
Wow. Happy pre-birthday, George.
Happy pre-birthday.
The official day is actually tomorrow.
You're what, 47?
I am a right young and spry 31.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're a child compared to the people in this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Will, anything to promote, Will?
Go Steelers.
Well, well, yeah, you've had all this kind of club with something you give with
okay.
Go Steelers.
Well, okay, well then nothing, I don't have anything else.
Okay, well, maybe next time. Okay, that's the show for this week. We're 2 minutes over time, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it when you download the podcast. For George, bye, George.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
For
okay.
Will, bye, Will.
Bye.
Amazing thing. I will see. Hey, I'm not done with the outro yet. this is Jason saying I'll see you next week, and now everyone say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.